AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What are we? What makes us what we are? And what we're going to be? I think it's that right there. It's grit. It's grit.
It's grit. And we're back. The All Grit Podcast, Monday, following a Lions victory. How we feeling, boys?
Another victory Monday.
Man, this is what 10-1 feels like, people. 10-1.
Oh, woo-hoo. Sorry. There you go. Adrian had it turned down again. We're getting used to this victory Mondays, boys. How many weeks is that? Is that 10 in a row?
Ten in no eight in a
or
row
nine.
You're right, nine.
One, and then straight up, yeah, nine.
Yeah, straight up.
Nine. So, what a
streak in the league.
There's all kinds of streaks that we're in right now. You know,
that's crazy.
Scrolling through Instagram and everything, like, oh, Lions are get this stat. Lions are the only team in the history of the NFL to score 24 consecutive rushing touchdowns in a game.
Yeah,
did I say that right? 24 yeah. games with a consecutive rushing touchdown.
Yeah,
in the history. So, just setting stuff left and right. But anyway, my name is Caleb. I'm the humble host. I'm joined alongside Adrian, the soundboard machine, the guy that doesn't let anything get in between him and popping the champagne. If you know what I'm saying. We got plaques. He's got stats. He's got breaking news. He's got everything when you need it. He's on the weather. Oh, I feel like we got a little bit of a newscast here. And you might be seeing that we're missing one man down.
Yes, man.
This man could not make it to the show tonight. So rest in peace, Mr. Clay Bowley. Because, I don't know, he's working out of town, always. Making that money, right?
That's right.
All right, boys. Let's get into it. As you know, I was in Indy over the
week. Bro, I saw the pictures, the videos you shared. If you guys follow us on Instagram, you might have seen Caleb's adventures, Caleb and Chas. Bro, tell us. People want to know, how was Indy? How was the vibes?
Top what was tier it like? Exclusive content.
I could have had more. Okay, so I reached out to some friends. Reached out to some friends down in Indiana. They live like 10 minutes south of Indian, like literally Lucas Oil. So they're still in Indy, but they made plans for us to go out to Harry and Izzy's, which is like one of the best steak restaurants. It's right next to St. Elmo's, which is the most popular place, right? So they're owned by the same owner, so it's kind of like their little sister store, a little bit cheaper stuff. So they make us arrange reservations for 8:45. So we're there, and we start hearing the whole crowd. I mean, guys, I did not see a Colts jersey the whole day on Saturday. Everywhere you go,
wow.
We're walking in and out of bars, in and out of restaurants, and there's just nothing but Lions jerseys on. Everyone is having a ball. We walk into the restaurant on Saturday night, and we're walking past the table, and I got like super good facial recognition skills. So I look at this table, and I'm like, well, there's Danny Rogers. Well, there's Jennifer Hammond. So I'm starting to talk to those guys, and I'm talking about the All Grit Podcast, boys. I'm repping the pod. I got the hat on. I'm telling them to follow. Jennifer Hammond sitting there saying, I think I've heard of that podcast before. Not only did I have the All Grit on, but do you know what shirt I had on, boys?
Tell me.
The GOAT.
It was It was the Jared Goff slash Michael Jordan shirt, and I got so much love from that shirt, man. I ran into Dan Miller right after that, and Dan Miller, I talked with him, bro. We were sitting there. He's taking pictures of my shirt. Him and Wojo are both like, oh, we love that shirt. So they're getting out their phones. They're taking pictures of me. And then last but not least, TJ Lang. Yes. TJ Lang is sitting there. And let me tell you something, you know, I'm 6 foot. He towered over me, but he's a big boy. You know, I grabbed a hold of his arm cause I was kind of playing with him a little bit, kind of giving him some trash for dissing me at one of the games that we were at. Long story short, we were in Chicago, and we were on the field, and TJ sees me because I'm hollering at him, and he looks at me and goes, one minute, I'll be right there, 1 minute. I'm like, all right, cool. And he never came back. And so I decided that right now I was going to give him that back. Yeah, so he's like apologizing to me. He's like, I'm so sorry, man, I'm so sorry. So come over, get a picture. He gets a picture with Chas. So that was everybody at that table.
And this was at St. Elmo's or Izzy and Sarah's?
Harry and Izzy's. Yeah.
Harry and Izzy's. Okay.
Which is just basically. Yeah. But so what I heard was at St. Elmo's, that's where all the players were, and they rented out rooms. So like they
rented out rooms.
Yeah. So that place is specifically like big time where they will rent out a whole room. Like that's where the Peyton Manning room is. He would go there every game, wow, after every game, and have a steak and watch game film. Yeah. So, like legit, that was his room. It's called the Peyton Manning room. So you can rent that room out. You can rent other rooms out.
That is sick.
So they were right next to us. Never ran into them. But as we're leaving to leave, so we were talking maybe 10 o'clock at night, and I see this white haired guy just kind of like beelining right past the two restaurants, and I'm like, guys, that looks just like Rod Wood. I swear that's Rod Wood. Mm-hmm. So I ran up alongside of him, and sure enough, it's him. So I pull out my phone, and I do what every host of the True Grit, not the True Grit, the All Grit, sorry, I keep forgetting that, podcast would do. And I went up there, and I – yes, I forced it. I broke some news.
Let's go.
I said, Rod Wood, I am the host, the humble host of the All Grit podcast. I need to get this interview. I mean, I'm hugging this millionaire.
You're almost kidnapping him. Like, you can't leave until you...
I held him, bro. And I said, this is Caleb Annual. I'm here with Rod Wood, the president of the Detroit Lions. He's looking at my camera just smiling, laughing. I asked him what his plans were for the night. He said, I'm just going to go meet with my wife out for dinner. So I could tell he was trying to get away. So I said, all right, Rod, have a good day, buddy. Thank you for your time. He says, thank you. So, everybody was so nice, from Rod to TJ to the girls, you know, Danny and Jennifer to Dan Miller and Wojo. It was awesome.
Cool, man. That's awesome.
I feel like Dan Miller would be like the coolest uncle or grandpa.
For sure.
Like some George Blaha vibes.
Yeah. That's sick, man.
So good time.
Maybe we'll have him as a guest on the pod, man. That'd be awesome.
I know. I was too starstruck to even think about setting things up. And probably they would have laughed at me.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening,
we'll get
Dan
there.
Miller, if you're listening, Danny Rogers.
Yeah.
Connect with us. Come on the pod as a guest.
Come on. Get this out there. And if you live in the greater Detroit area and you know them, or you know Tim 20man, just holler at them. Let them know that we want to get them in for a guest appearance.
Yeah, people want to hear them. 15, 20 minutes. We can chat it up.
That's it.
Chop it up.
But let's talk a little bit about the game itself.
All right.
But before we get to the game, we should probably get to our sponsor.
All right, let's play it.
Today's episode is sponsored by Dan Diamond Equipment, a used fork truck dealing company located in Hastings, Michigan. They sell and rent fork trucks and die handlers. With over 30 years of experience, don't hesitate to call Dan Diamond Equipment for all of your fork truck needs. Reach out to Dan at 269-948-3377. Again, the number for Dan Diamond Equipment, 269-948-3377.
All right. So what I wanted to kind of kick off is just a little more of a Colts inside look. And I put that down in our notes. So what I'm referring to is, all right, so we get down there Sunday morning. Me and my wife are down there at 8 a.m. Like, we're trying to tailgate. We're trying to have the experience. We're driving around to these lots. These lots are empty, bro. Empty at 8 a.m. I thought, okay, well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe Indianapolis, like, I don't know. I've gone down to Detroit, and it's already, like, the grills are going. It's
popping, yeah.
Bro, it was a ghost town. All I saw was a little lion tent here and a little lion tent there.
What?
And I'm like, what in the world? So finally, we park next to this big old tent that says All Grit. So I'm like, wait, that's us, baby, All Grit. So we park next to those guys. And for the – it must have been a Detroit Lion parking lot. They must have rented it out or something because it – I mean, I did not see a Colt fan until I got near the building. It was that
wow. Just
packed with Lions fans. So that was kind of interesting to see.
Yeah.
Just parking lots taken over by Lions. So then we get up to the entrance. And you know, it is true. Like Honolulu blue, Colts blue, unless you got great eyes, it kind of look alike, right?
Yeah.
But when you're in line, you can clearly see the lighter of the two blues, like predominant. Yeah. And as soon as we get into the building, we're in Lucas Oil, and it's unlike Ford Field where when you get in, Ford Field kind of like, it's very open, and then it goes up to the elevators and stuff.
Yep.
Like Lucas Oil, you walk in 5 feet, and there's like escalators going up right there. Like, it's totally cramped. And I thought that was weird. But anyway, so there's a bottleneck right there. And of course, where there's a bottleneck, there's thousands of Lions fans just standing. So what do you think is being shouted from the rooftop as soon as we get in there?
Jared Goff.
Dude, I got videos. I don't even know if I sent you those ones. We're just literally standing in, and you walk around, you look, and you just see Colts fans with their heads down.
They know what's coming.
Overtaking their stadium at the entrance at noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stupid. So then we're in the stadium, and we had nosebleeds, right? But apparently didn't matter because the nosebleeds were full of Lions fans. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had one Colt guy behind me, and that's about the only Colt person that I saw in my whole section. Like, it was stupid. And then as the game's going, since we were in the nosebleeds, I'm looking for seats, you know, that might be a little closer. Well, after halftime, you know, there's plenty of open seats. In fact, near the end of the game when it was kind of leaving, Colts fans were just leaving.
They're gone.
Yeah. So we ended up, as you saw, we ended up being in front row on the end zone, right on the floor. And we got to celebrate with the crew down there with a 24-6 victory. So all in all, great weekend in the city. The city is absolutely phenomenal. If you guys, any of our listeners, get a chance to go down, Harry and Izzy's excellent steakhouse. You got St. Elmo's right there, and the whole city is abuzz with like restaurants and bar, like great, great atmosphere.
Shout out to Indianapolis, one of my favorite Midwest cities for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Indy brings the heat.
And Plax, what did I tell you? I said, if you can remember on last episode, I said, what happens when the Lions wear all whites? Do you remember your response?
We go crazy. That's what we do.
Undefeated in the whites this year. It might even be
undefeated, man.
So that's all I got. You guys take the rest of the pod. I've talked enough. What you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk the game. What we saw as fans from home, you know, we're just chilling at home, watching TV. Let's start out with the defense. Plex, what'd you see in the defense this game?
Yeah, I'll go first half. I mean, they came to Indianapolis. They had a nice, you know, when they scheme, you know, every team schemes at least the first drive or two, on offense. And I really love what they did. They played to their strength. Anthony Richardson was running all over the place. They were getting chunk yards one after another. They made it down deep, I think 10, 15 yard line. And then classic Lions fan, facet, bend don't break, they forced the field goal.
Huge. Yeah, I loved
it. But they came out with a great game plan. They were getting big chunk plays, and Lions defense end up stepping up.
Yeah, man. So in the in the first half, there was, you know, Anthony Richardson was doing his thing. He was running the ball quite a bit first two or three drives. But I saw in an interview with Carlton Davis, the corner, he's like, yeah, they did it for like the first couple of drives, but we knew that it wasn't sustainable. He can't do that all game, you know, to just be running. And then they're like, we let him have the first couple of drives. And that is true how the game played out. Like after, like, you know, second half, yeah. I don't remember Anthony Richardson really running.
Well, so get this. There was one stat that I heard on the radio today. Said their first three drives, Indy put up 136 yards, and that's in three drives. So you're thinking they're going to have a heck of a game. Mm-hmm. The rest of the game, they put up 131 or something like that. So it's like they got half of their yardage and half of their yards for the game in those first three drives.
Yeah.
The one thing that stood out to me too was time of possession. First half, Indianapolis was killing it. It was like a 15 minutes to four. They had a lot of long drives. But we had the two rushing touchdowns, one from Gibbs, one from Montgomery to have that small lead at the half.
Yep.
But they really came out. They did their thing. I think that's something we talked about last week, that we expected the Colts to play strong, play good defense.
Yep.
Jack Fox, punt god, was going crazy. Helped us out with the
did great
field possession.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we did enough to have a nice little lead at the half.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Go ahead, Caleb.
Yeah, just you mentioned Jack Fox. It is something crazy to be there and to see the whole field when he's kicking. Because when you're up there and you're watching him stand on his own 10, right? Mm. And he kicks the ball from his own 10, and the guy is fair catching the ball at his own, I believe it was 10 or 15. And to see the amount of space that guy covered with his leg, when you talk about flipping the field, it is exactly that. I mean, it is such a weapon to have that guy, because you know your defense, they got 80 yards, 90 yards. To defend instead of, you know, a crappy kick, and now you only got 50 yards to defend. Yeah. So nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool. I know for you, Caleb, being there in person, you can't notice certain things. But for those of us watching on TV, we got the sad news couple hours before the game that Terrion Arnold was out due to, I believe, a groin injury. And still questionable for this week on Thursday, but it stood out like a sore thumb, man, him missing out, because Vildor, our good old friend Vildor.
The audio.
Oh,
the audio.
Man.
You know, we actually got a picture sent in from one of our little friends. I'm not sure if I can pull it up still or not. Let's see.
So, yeah, we definitely remember him from that NFC Championship game with San Fran. But, I mean, it's not like he was terrible, like, you know, he wasn't getting cooked, but they were targeting him. Like, you know, they were looking for him, and he wasn't cooked, but he was toast. I don't know if that makes sense.
I would respectfully disagree, especially in the first half. This dude was getting freaking cooked. But, like, shout out to the Colts. They knew who the backup was.
Yeah.
Vildor was in. Please take a look at YouTube at this video.
That right there is what was just sent in as an early present there, and he's not happy with it.
Dorsey, you know, he was okay too, not great. But I mean they knew what to do, and like Richardson, to his credit, I can't believe I just seen this. He was 11 for 28. It does not seem To me, it did not seem like that. And they had him, and they did everything they could to get one-on-one with Vildor. And he was in on some plays, but boy, was he not in on some plays, man.
Well, I think Anthony Richardson played a good game, but their receivers had so many drops, bro. They had that drop in the end zone they could have scored. Some of those long throws to Alec Pierce that he caught, and then as like an offensive lineman – had a holding, so they call it back. Like, yep. It was a bunch of that ticky-tacky stuff where at the same time you see an undisciplined team like that young core in Indianapolis, and you compare it to just professional men with the Detroit Lions that were just their business, bro. Business.
That was one thing I really noticed for the Colts. I mean, they were in position on so many plays.
Yeah.
So many deep balls that were like fingertips, or they would get a huge third down and there'd be a penalty. I mean, the Colts were really there and they could have really made a strong case to win that game, but it was a matter of execution and they were just not executing. But they had they were there on a lot of plays. They have a solid team. They just weren't they weren't finishing.
Yeah. They can leverage some of the core guys. They'll have a good team if they draft good. Like, they've got some really good pieces, but like you're saying, it was just execution, undisciplined at times, so many penalties that they got.
Yeah, so. D-line was pretty nasty. They got a lot of pressure on Goff, even before Decker went out for a few series.
Yeah. Yeah, they showed out. They showed out. They played pretty well. Any other comments, Caleb, before we move to the Lions offense?
Yeah, let's move. I'm good with that.
All right. So offensive performance this week. We don't get a 50 burger, but what'd you guys think of our offense against the Colts? We'll start with Plax.
Yeah, I mean, it was still pretty efficient. We had a lot more punts than we're used to. Even on a lot of the stalled drives, we still moved the ball really well, and then we would kind of just stall out.
Yeah.
But it's a credit. I mean, Colts D line played really well. They had a couple strip fumbles that we were able to be fortunate enough to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, still having a nice civilian at quarterback with a nice 26 for 36, no touchdowns. Still didn't throw any picks.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit vanilla, but it was still pretty good execution. I mean, this was Gibbs' game. Montgomery had he had the nice touchdown early.
Yep.
And a really, really strong run, stretching it out over the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
But Gibbs, man, 21 carries, 90 tough yards, couple tutties.
Yep.
And Tim Patrick was a dog, bro.
My boy Timmy,
really,
bro.
Like Timmy. We're not going to get into my bold take with Zylstra because I don't think he even caught a pass.
Did he even play, bro? I don't know if he was on the field.
But I didn't know LaPorta was going to play. And that was a little different, too. They were talking about that on the national broadcast.
Yeah.
Goff and LaPorta were just a little off, man. He had two or three really big plays down the field that were fingertips.
That
was
all Goff.
That was all Goff. So
because LaPorta was sitting right in that zone, right where he should have been, and the ball was just
in the open spot, big time. But hopefully, we'll get that tightened up this week.
Yeah, I did. Miss.
Isn't it amazing? I was looking at these stats. So if I told you, this is my favorite quote of the pod. If I told you that J-Mo was going to get 64 yards and be our leading receiver for the day, you would have thought we got spanked. 64 yards, leading receiver?
Yeah.
But look how we spread it out. 64, 62, Tim Patrick, 55. Okay, who was? Okay, so let's take the bold take that Plax had, and let's just switch out Zylstra for Tim Patrick. And, you'd still be wrong. But anyways, it was pretty close. Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah, we were laughing before the pod because we think about all our bold takes we had this last episode.
Trash.
The closest person on their bold take.
Oh, we're going to get to it, bro.
All right, we'll get to it.
We'll get to it. I got a whole segment of that. Yeah. No,
but I think in this game, the offense just grinded it out. They did what they could. I mean, the Colts had a good defensive game plan for us. And those guys were ready for us. You know, we still got 24 on them, and we did our thing. Monty had me worried, bro. He was on the sideline with a shoulder injury. Then he went back into the locker room, and it's like him and then Khalif Raymond, Taylor Decker. I'm just like ready to throw up, bro. It was I hate games like that where we just have guys just one after the other.
I know
Monty's gonna be okay. It was I don't know, some shoulder pain he had from a tackle, but I'm not sure about Decker, and Khalif sounds like it might be a little more long term. So
Khalif looked really rough. He could not put any pressure on that ankle.
Yeah.
So from what I've been reading so far, and it's early, it's only Monday, Montgomery, Decker, and we don't know about Carlton Davis yet, but those two should be good to go for Thursday. Yeah, I think Leaf is going to be out for, let's just say, a couple weeks. It would be great to have him back for the Packers, but yeah, there's just no info on it. They're being tight-lipped on it. But yeah, was that all the injuries? Was it Davis? Oh no, it was Montgomery.
Oh yeah, Carlton Davis too. He wasn't feeling well.
Montgomery. So Davis,
you miss a lot. You miss a lot when you're sitting up in, you know, the nosebleeds, because I'm talking to you guys and reading stuff, and but it all went down the hill when I saw number 29 for the Detroit line. Is that Vildor?
Yeah.
Dude, it was Vildor. It's immediate when you start seeing the receivers just catching balls, and I'm like, who is letting up all the? Oh my gosh, that's Vildor out there. Yeah, I mean, I almost needed to see the number on this dude. I was way up there. It's an awesome overview of the whole field, but you can't get what you guys see. Yeah. You know, play and play.
He was in pretty good position on a couple of the deep balls.
Yeah,
but there is at least five, especially first half. This dude is nowhere close, and it really hurt my feelings. And he's probably somebody we're gonna have to lean on later in the year. And as all these injuries mount up, it does make me a little nervous, because they even had Branch on over the top, but that gap there in between the linebacker and the safety. I mean, Richardson, he was getting them in there. They had a lot of chances, so I think we got lucky on a lot of them. But hopefully the playing time will help Vildor, especially if he has to play Thursday night.
Oh god!
But man,
I mean that's 3 days from now, dude.
Vildor.
We've got some breaking news on the podcast, the All Great Podcast. Glad you guys are listening with us. So we just got the Detroit Lions injury report just released, you know, just a couple minutes ago. So, boys, good news. Terrion Arnold did have full practice today.
Oh, let's go. I didn't see that. Let's go.
So it looks like Terrion Arnold, we got good hopes that he will be playing Thursday in a couple days against the Bears on Thanksgiving. And Carlton Davis, he did not practice today. It looks like he's got maybe like a – something was bothering his knee, and that's what we saw on TV. He was kind of holding his knee. Hopefully it's not something serious, but the good thing is he wasn't placed on IR. Like, when he was holding his knee in the game, I was like, man, I hope it's not his MCL or ACL. But that looks like good news to me too, just the fact that he's on here and wasn't placed on IR. So,
and I did read this quick article about Amon-Ra. I'm hoping it's not like legit, but I'm hoping that's more rest than anything, because they did say it's a new injury. It's not the quad that he was having issues with like he had. So it says knee, right?
Yeah. It does say knee. Honestly, all these guys on here, I think like that didn't practice is just rest.
Rest.
Like, yeah, you're playing in 72 hours, you know.
Plus when you got a 4-day week before you strap up again.
Mm-hmm.
But did you see that Vildor did come out to practice today? And as soon as he came out, was heard from the bathrooms everywhere. And
Well, maybe we'll end up seeing him on Thursday. So hopefully that we don't see him. So.
No, okay. No. Calm down.
Hey, one thing I did see today was that Darius Smith with the highest rated.
Yeah,
defensive end in the league this week, 88%.
Wow,
88% means he had a lot of pressures. Yeah. He had a few tackles, so he's definitely settling in nice.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I noticed too. I feel like there were more pressures this game. And I wanted to ask you guys, I don't know if it was just me, but did you feel like the defensive line had more pressures on this week or what?
Yes.
Is that a Zadarius effect or what do you guys think?
McNeil was pairing it up too. McNeil. So they had, Indy had that rookie guard or tackle.
Yeah.
McNeil was tearing his tail up. He was up the middle all freaking day, bro. So, I mean, I hate to see that our best pass rush is in the middle. But Zadarius coming off the edge, Rodriguez blitzing crazy. He had a couple nice, one big tackle similar to last week that Caleb mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this freaking bend don't break, man. And I cannot believe we can keep sustaining these injuries and the defense is playing like this.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what I thought too. I mean, you got Jack Campbell and Rodrigo playing crazy at the linebacker position right now. Cause it's almost like I was watching, who was the other two? Neiman and whoever are Nowoski. Like they were going in and out, like every other play it seemed like. And you saw Malcolm. Yeah. You saw Malcolm and Campbell just holding steady. So it's like, I hate to say it, but those guys, they're going to get pressed to work for this whole rest of the half of the season. They have to.
Yeah, they have to.
I know play late in the second, I believe it was second quarter. It wasn't a pick. It was close. But the side angle, Jack Campbell, and we've seen him down there at practice this summer. This dude is tall he's long as heck. Mm-hmm. But he had a tip just at the very end to throw off a huge third down completion. And that dude, he was everywhere.
What's his height? What's his height? Do you have it pulled up? Because I'm looking at Hutt. And so Hutch is what? 6'7", 6'6"?
6'5",
246. 6'5" is a skyscraper as a linebacker.
It's disgusting.
That's tall.
Yep. He's 6'5", and his 40-yard dash was 4.6.
Which is crazy, because I got a few 6'6", 6'8 guys that I grew up with, and they're so tall, they can barely chew gum and walk at the same time. And this dude is an absolute beast. And he had I think it was second quarter when they were coming down, and he had a tip, and it caused just enough disruption. I think Branch or Kirby almost had the pick, but but he was there all day, and I think Campbell gave him one of the game balls.
Yeah.
All right, boys, there's three things I want to get to before we close this pod out, because we're already at 32 minutes. Maybe we need to start making an hour pod. We'll see what the fans say. And all right, so real quick, if Leaf is going to, let's just say he's out for the next 2 weeks, who's returning punts for you starting Thursday, Plax?
Please, God, not Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yes, I do not want to see him on any more punt returns. But can we get Dorsey or literally anybody else but St. Brown on kick return, please?
Yeah. And it's not because of performance. If you're listening, it's because we don't want our best offensive receiver injured or hurt or some kind of freak accident returning a punt.
Perfect. That's what I was hoping you boys would say, and I agree 100%. So you know what I'm oh, that's my bold take. I'm holding that. Remember, bold take. I got a question for that. All right, so let's go to our speak pipe question real quick. Can we do that, Adrian? And then we'll answer this week's speak pipe is coming all the way from the dirty south again, putting you Michiganders to shame with this speak pipes. Let's go, Mr. AG.
What up, Florida?
What up, doe? All grit fam. It's your boy AG back again after another Lions win. The Lions are 10-1 for the first time in 90 years. And what a time it is, fellas. But today I want to talk about our defensive coordinator, sir. Aaron Glenn. Zero touchdowns given up in the past 10 quarters of football. Just an incredible feat in the National Football League. This is the coach that Dan Campbell stuck with and the coach that Dan Campbell promised us. But I truly believe that the writing is on the wall and we lose Aaron Glenn to a head coaching position. next season. So my question for you all today is, what team hires this guy and who do we hire to replace him? Obviously, there's some good names in-house, but there's also some really good names on the open market, some defensive-minded coaches. As always, keep up the great work, boys. Peace.
Thanks, AG.
Thank you, Mr. AG.
Thanks, bro.
AG talking about AG.
Exactly. So something I loved he said in that is this was the guy that Dan Campbell stuck with. And if you guys can go back a year or two,
yes,
don't admit it right here. We all wanted him gone.
I'm sorry. I wanted him gone.
They couldn't stop a nosebleed. Yep. But they kept giving him time. They kept giving him time to get his players in there. Yeah. He had think of who we first had when these guys are taking over.
Yeah.
We had guys that aren't even in the league right now, man.
Yep. Yeah, Bobby Price. We had all these random people on the team.
And this is something we talked about, Dan Campbell.
Like he knew who he had in Aaron Glenn, and he stuck with him. So props.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Campbell's all about loyalty, and this is something we talked about, I think, after the Packer game. That first year and a half, man, God, we suck, man, especially the secondary. And that was something we talked about last week. If we could just be a middle of the road secondary, how monumental of a change that was. And yeah, I mean, Ben Johnson is the sexy name right now. I had a post, I commented on a post, I think it was Woodward Sports, today, and all they're talking about is where they're going to go next year. But let's just sit back. Chill, enjoy them while we got them.
Enjoy the ride.
But this is what you want. Blessed, I mean, right? you got two coordinators who are going crazy, and they're going to get some good looks. We talked about him going to New Orleans.
Yep.
But you know, Dan Campbell gave him some time, got some good draft picks, got some good personnel in, and you can see what you do. I mean, it's a player's game. You got some good player's game, and he's. Especially with all the injuries we've had, I mean, the defense is just outstanding.
Yeah.
So second question, AG was asking, I'm thinking just like Dave said, New Orleans or the Jets. Those are my two teams that he would go to. What about you guys?
Yeah. I mean, those two make the most sense. I hope he doesn't go to the Jets for his own sake, but he was a player there. You know, he's a legend. Exactly. He's got history there. And then also history working for the New Orleans organization. So those two are my top two that make the most sense. And either of those organizations, we'd be blessed to have them. I think between him and Ben Johnson, AG is the more developed leader, leader of men. And I think Aaron Glenn would create a really good coaching tree. Now, Ben Johnson's got the brains.
That's right. Now, the last point that AG brings up, let me see if you guys are with me on this. If our defensive coordinator leaves, he's gone. Who do you want as the new defensive coordinator moving forward? One name right now. Start with Adrian.
If without doing research, just one name right now, I would go with Kelvin Shepherd. The players love this guy, and he's already been a name thrown for a while. Coach Shep. Well, bro, in that
you
building.
Pulled the name. You pulled the name off of my paper. Absolutely, linebackers coach that these guys love. And if you watched any part of highlights of HBO's Hard Knocks, you will see that dude is a dog as a coach, just like AG. And he's been mentoring under him for years. Let's go,
former player.
That was the same thing I was talking about with some of the guys at work this morning was Kelvin Shepherd. They looked at me a little crazy, but I've not heard anything bad about Kelvin Shepherd.
No.
And Coach Shep. And to me, the way this organization is built is a lot like an Alabama or a strong college program where you just build with from within. We mentioned Saleh. Couple weeks ago, that seems like a little bit of a stretch. He's probably going to be good in Green Bay, but Coach Shep, he seems like he might be the man. Obviously, we don't know.
Yep.
But it just seems like a develop from within type program we have with Detroit.
All right, boys. Yep. We're gonna try to blitz through this real fast here. Last week we had some bold takes. Adrian put on the board three turnovers, two interceptions, and one fumble. Let's see, did that come to fruition? All right. Plaxico Pigs, Shane Zylstra, 5 receptions, 1 touchdown, 65 yards.
I'll never do that again.
Caleb, Jared Goff is going to throw 1 interception, followed by immediately a touchdown. Clay Boley, hey guys, Jamo's going to get not only a receiving touchdown, he's going to get a rushing touchdown. And our guest, Mr. Justin, came the closest.
I'm the worst one.
He came the closest. He's still horribly wrong. But he came the closest with Brian Branch getting ejected.
He was close, though.
He was close.
Very close.
When I saw that play, I started laughing by myself. My wife didn't know I was laughing. I was thinking of Justin and his bold take.
Sitting there in the audience going, oh, my God, Justin's going to get the bold take of the week. All right, so real quick, we're still on bold takes. All right, so nobody gets a point. So this week's bold takes, real quick, we'll start with Adrian. What do you think is going to be on a short week, Chicago coming to town? Give us a bold take.
All right, Caleb Williams will not be able to handle the spotlight, the big lights, and he's gonna throw 2 picks, 2 interceptions.
Okay. All right. Plax, what you got?
I like Zadarius with 2 sacks on Thursday.
Oh,
he's ready. The rest of the team. I mean, Chicago's got to go through the same thing, but a 4-day turnaround, that's tough. I think that's what screwed us last year about Green Bay, gave them some false hope. You know, those guys are super delusional. But a Thursday game at noon, that's a quick turnaround. Chicago's offensive line, not the greatest. They're not bad, but I think Zadarius gets home, especially with Caleb Williams running around crazy. I'll go 2, possibly 2 plus sacks.
All right.
Okay.
See, to me, boys, those could happen. Those could both happen, and that does not make it bold. And so your boy, the humble host of this here podcast, is going to go bold. I'm going to go so bold, I'm going to prophesy that some guy not on the team right now is going to be fielding the Detroit Lions punts on Thursday.
Oh, yes, okay.
They're calling up the only, dare I say, Vanilla Vic-esque from the practice squad who has been on our practice squad for about 7 years. They're bringing up the one, the only, Tom Kennedy.
Okay, I like it.
Tom Kennedy's coming off the practice squad. He's coming off the practice squad, boys.
Brown out there. I like it.
Let's go.
PK85, man.
Doesn't he field him in preseason games? Doesn't that make sense?
He's been back there. But call him up. He can also.
Yeah, and he's your also slot guy, which is Leaf is doing. So it makes sense. Makes all the sense in the world to me. All right, real quick. Game ball. Who fumbled it for you, Plax? Real quick. You can't tell us a story.
Frickin' Vildor. I had my bleep button. I downloaded a bleep button app. Let me get back to it. Mother Vildor. I think he can improve. I like that he got a lot of snaps, but man, does that dude piss me off.
All right, Adrian, who fumbled the ball for you?
I'm just going to make Plax happy. Vildor fumbled it.
Yeah. I'll go Vildor as well. What a horrible guy. All right, who receives game ball for you, Plax?
I'm going to go Jameer. He was a beast all game. He was a game changer, and he was the difference in the game.
Nice. Adrian?
Game ball goes to Aaron Glenn. Bro, he's looking after the game. He's just sitting on the bench with his pad, just chilling, bro, looking like a boss.
Chilling. And my game ball is going to J-Mo. No explosive touchdowns thrown, but you know, he led with 64 yards and he made some crucial. You know what? Let's do a split ball with him and Tim Patrick. I mean, just they both got 50, 60 yards. Give them half a ball, and because they caught everything that came their way and no turnovers, and they just moved the chains when they had to. So
let's go. Solid.
So boys, we're gonna have a little midweek pod. You think Adrian and Plaque? You guys gonna do that?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and talk about it.
If I may, we may have a special guest in the works. He may or may not be our number speak pipe.
Wait, we got breaking news,
guy. I was back. I was working the angles earlier today. I think I have it confirmed. You know, we're a bunch of slappies. We talk about football like we know it, but we got a guy who's played top tier high school and Division I football.
D1 athlete.
Wow.
With the numbers to show it.
Bro.
Super excited.
Are you talking about the former running back at Central Michigan?
Fire up Chippewa? Chips. First team all
star. Wow. Bro, you got that guy for the pot?
Dude, that's my boy.
Whoa. All right. Well, we'll see. Stay tuned.
We got some top tier analysis coming your way, guys.
We may be dropping another episode on Wednesday because game's on Thursday. So stay tuned for that. And one last word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is sponsored by Dan Diamond Equipment, a used fork truck dealing company located in Hastings, Michigan. With over 30 years of experience, don't hesitate to call Dan Diamond Equipment for all of your fork truck needs. Reach out to Dan at 269-948-3377. Again, the number for Dan Diamond Equipment, 269-948-3377.
Hit us with it, Adrian.
Man, awesome, awesome week, y'all. We got a quick turnaround.
What makes us what we are?
We got Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving game on Thursday. That's always a fun one. No work. We don't got to go to work this week, fellas.
Actually, I haven't worked in like 4 weeks, so, you know, if you got some annual painting, let me know. I'll come to work on Thursday. I don't care.
Creating this victory Monday for a victory Friday. Let's get it.
Yes, sir. 11-1. Let's go.